Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer, not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, then listen closely to the next 30 minutes. For healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. My favorite hour of the week begins. Today's show, craniosacral and the hypothalamus. What really gives you health? This is going to be outside the box for most of you, because most of you, first and foremost, are nutrition devotees. You look to nutrition, whether it's herbs or nutraceuticals or extracts or whatnot. You scan the radio for different opinions on how to treat your health concern with God's plants, so on and so forth. And that's your perception of what you need to do to deal with your health issue. Well, to me, over 25 years, the nutritional part is only a piece of it. And the truth is, it's an inferior piece of it. Now, I'm not knocking it. I have to be politically correct, I know. So I'm not knocking nutrition. Nutrition's a big deal. But I want to spin your perspective on why you spend the money, the time, and the energy on your nutrition, because inevitably, and I just have to do this show because I see it happen time and time and time again, that really all you're doing with nutrition is peeling your way to what we'll call your hypothalamic intelligence. What's that, you say? Well, those of you who have listened to the show before know that word, hypothalamus. I'm always harping on it, but always, 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 it's coming down to this, and I don't think we really have it in the guts of it, in the trenches of it. In other words, long before people really optimize hypothalamic function, long before they do it, they find themselves curious or upset or indignant at the fact that they've put so much time, energy, and money into nutrition, so much effort, and they still don't get what they want with their health. When, despite understanding something about that word, hypothalamic intelligence, the relationship between the hypothalamus to the cranial bones, to the dural system, to the cerebrospinal fluid, to the occiput, and to the sacrum. Yes, I know I said a mouthful. Perhaps if this is your first time listening to the show, you're drowning now already. It's just too much. That's why I want to remind you, this show asks you to study the things I say to you, because that's where the competitive edge is. That's where the rubber hits the road. You're going to really get results if you can understand what I'm trying to say to you today. And that is that this whole relationship between the hypothalamus, the pituitary, the occipital bone, the first and second cervical vertebra, the pumping mechanism it creates, the pumping mechanism down at L5 and S1 in the lower lumbar spine to the sacrum, how it will stretch the dural tissue, how it will massage the spine and move the cerebral spinal fluid is what primes the frequencies of the hypothalamus. Meaning, the hypothalamus is in bones of the skull, and those bones of the skull are supposed to pump. They're supposed to separate and move. And of course, this was disputed at one time. And of course, there isn't anything in mainstream allopathic medicine that wants to tell you that the reason your immune system isn't seeing a cancer cell and a tumor is growing or an autoimmune disease is persisting or so on and so forth, you just can't get out of your depression or your mania or whatever it is. There's nothing in mainstream American, if not universal, world medicine to tell you you're looking to the relationships I'm talking about today. So I may be repeating myself for some of you, but really this is about attaching to it on a deeper level. For those of you who are new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. I am a chiropractor. I have done about a year and a half of acupuncture school. I have spent years, countless number of years, in all sorts of physical manipulations of the body, not only as a chiropractor, but in all forms of massage. I have worked relentlessly in chiropractic nutrition, we'll call it, over the last 20, 25 years to see what health is about. I've taught over the last 20 years, relentlessly. I've had my hands on thousands and thousands of people. And I always and am never afraid to get my elbows dirty when it's necessary. And inevitably, what I come down to amidst all the effort, time, money people put into nutrition is, do you really understand what it is to open the hypothalamus? Get on the website straighttalk.cc, not .com, that's .cc, Straight Talk, that's with two T's, all lowercase. Let's start. I want you to look at some of the pictures today, if you can, if you're not, if you're driving, if you're new, if you're whatever, if you're gardening, if you're washing the dishes, I'll try to describe it. First of all, if you take your finger and you put it between your eyebrows, dead center, what some call the third eye point, what classically in conventional anatomy is called the glabella. Again, this is your finger on your forehead at the level of the eyebrows, just dead center. And you go back a couple of inches, you're going to hit the hypothalamus and the pituitary gland. They are glands. They are sections of the brain. Look at picture number one. Netter does an incredible job of laying out what in Eastern medicine we'll call the crown chakra. Again, put your finger on your forehead at the level of the eyebrow, about 2 inches or so back. It's going to vary skull to skull. And you're going to be in a place in your brain that really runs the show. It runs the show. It tells your immune system. It directs all your chemistry. It makes you think the way you think and feel the way you feel. It is the master gland. It is none other than the hypothalamus gland, hypothalamus. When you say testosterone, when you say estrogen, when you say adrenaline, when you say cortisol, when you say aldosterone, when you say thyroid, when you say T4, when you say growth hormone, you're saying hypothalamus. When you say I have hot flashes, it must be hormonal. When you say I don't get my erections like I did 20 years ago. When you say my muscles don't grow big and strong even though I lift weights, you're saying and talking hypothalamus. And that's for openers. Now, what I want to bring to you today, and those of you that can, if you would get to picture number 9, is that both fibers of the autonomic nervous system. So again, the autonomic nervous system, that electrical wiring that runs your organ systems and your glands. Those nerves that look like angel hair pasta in a fishnet fashion throughout your body, telling your organs what to do, telling your glands what to do, have two divisions. One is the get to work division, and the other one is rest and go to sleep division. So those two types of nerve fibers under the name autonomic nervous system, not automatic, autonomic nervous system, either speed up the organ or shut it down, slow it up so it can rest and repair. So we say if you're sitting at your desk and the building shakes and you know there's an earthquake and you've got to shoot out into the middle of the street to save yourself, your heart's beating faster and your muscles are working better because your sympathetic or speed up nervous system has activated. When you relax behind the fact that it was just a little quake, it was just a little tremor, it wasn't the big one, everything's okay, life's back to normal, the sympathetic shuts off and the parasympathetic kicks in and your body rests. So that's what life is, right? You go from speed up to slow down, speed up to slow down. Hopefully you're speeding up when you're supposed to and you're slowing down when you're supposed to slow down, right? Hopefully that's the way it goes. Now, the point. Those fibers going from the organ to the hypothalamus and from the hypothalamus back to the organ means the hypothalamus is the master switch. It controls the balance of that nervous system, and it's got to get really good at that. The hypothalamus has to be happy for your autonomic nervous system to be happy. The hypothalamus has to vibrate. It has to get its massage. It has to get its persuasive. It has to get its vacation in the Bahamas for it to optimize in daily function. If the core of your brain, if the master switch, if the master cylinder, if the crown chakra, if whatever you want to call it, doesn't have an environment that nourishes it, it doesn't perform optimally, and then neither do you. Hey, you jaw clenchers out there, people who clench your mouth, you're hurting your hypothalamus. People whose bites are asymmetrical, people who have had bad head trauma, people who have sacral fixations. I'm going to go on and on and on today. There's a lot of ways to shut down that hypothalamic intelligence. All right, so we're introducing a lot here. First, we're saying the hypothalamus runs the entire neuroendocrine system. We're saying that the hypothalamus is the reason your immune system and a whole list of other things work the way they're supposed to work. We're saying that the hypothalamus balances the relationship between speed it up, sympathetic, and slow it down, parasympathetic. And we're saying that there's lots of situations where that hypothalamus is not optimized. Clenching the jaw is one big one. And I just want to throw in there, when you go and you have your dentists make the night guards, and you know, there is just so much out there now about dentists fixing the issue with clenching and grinding. Let me tell you something. They're fixing the issue with grinding, and they should, because that'll destroy your teeth. They're not fixing too much with clenching. The closest thing that dentists advertising all over the place got to resolving the clench issue was the NTI, and that's, from my experience, a 50-50, 60-40 bet. Lots of times it doesn't work. Just a side note. But the point is, from clenching the jaw to different forms of head trauma to different forms of sacral fixations, and I'm going to expand on that list later, the bony encasement of the hypothalamus gland doesn't move the way it's supposed to move. So the hypothalamus doesn't get massaged the way it's supposed to get massaged, and it gets stupid. That's bad. You can play around with your nutrition all you want. You can spend all the money you want on things to stimulate the immune system, things to sedate the nervous system, things to sedate the immune system, to speed up the immune system, so on. It's optimize organ function. If the central junction box isn't working, you will not get your results. We don't have people who are chronically ill because we have any deficit of herbs out there, or because we have any deficit of people who are fairly knowledgeable enough to use the herbs. What we have is a deficit of people who understand that if you don't combine what I'm talking about with the detoxifications and the nutrifications and so on and so forth, you never get what you're supposed to get. I will go on record saying that I am enormously passionate about the statement I'm making, and I think right now we're missing by a home run. We're missing this point by a mile. Even if we know how to throw around the words, hypothalamus, pituitary, dural system, cerebral, spinal fluid, fixations of the sacrum, blockages up at the occiput, and C1, C2, I'm talking now to the doctors in part. To really work with it, that's a different story. We're not working with it optimally. So I'm going to throw it out and emphasize it. And it's a ray of hope to you, because what you've done is put most of your money in a little exercise, a little yoga, lots of nutrition, and you may be wondering why you're not getting what you're supposed to get. Don't look any further than what I'm talking about. For every person whose issue is nutritional, there's 50 whose issue is a poorly optimized hypothalamus gland. The central crown doesn't know what it's doing. The construction foreman in your body has taken a long vacation and hasn't ever come back. For every person that suffers from nutritional issues, you have 50 that suffer from this. This is by far, and those of you who are into nutrition and haven't gotten what you want, stop barking up the same tree. Start going into other areas. This is after 25 years of doing a lot of everything. This is what I'm advising you to listen to. All right, let's keep going. Okay. I don't know if you can just see picture number one. I mean, look at all the different colors that Netter's put there in that picture. Just to show you, the hypothalamus has so many different nuclei. The hypothalamus has so many different centers controlling so many things. I mean, we talk about outer space. We talk about traveling to different galaxies. It's the internal journey. Just go in there and take a look at that. There's so much going on in there that we don't understand. There's so much limitation. Just listening to someone the other day in a conference, a very learned woman who eventually I think I'm going to try to bring on the show, brilliant, brilliant doctor, talk about the fact that after thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of her own research and educations and credentials and teaching seminars, she just told me point blank that DNA is simply a half material and half ethereal compound. That the very DNA that we call, this is the way your DNA is, and this is what dictates your life, is really way more malleable to light than we think. Along the lines, again, of this notion that the DNA is a crystal, and that in response to shifts of frequency within the human organism, the DNA becomes far more malleable than we ever thought possible. And this, no doubt, is where the future of medicine will go. And your leading chemists, I'm talking biochemists, biophysicists, they're all taking us there. If we're going to the other galaxy, it's the galaxy where DNA becomes malleable, where really it's just an electromagnetic three-dimensional ether. More than a solid, concrete, stable, malleable structure. And the implications of this are huge because right now, the way the information that we gather through genetic profiling, et cetera, and I've said this so many times, but I will say it again. The way it's going genetically is to profile you and to tell you, you got what you got. You have the cancer you've got the autoimmune disease you've got the schizophrenia you've got because you've got the genes you've got, and that's the way it is. Now just accept it and move on. This is bunk. And there will be very, very large consortiums of science that will tell you this is bunk. But you have to have the consciousness to absorb that. If you cannot absorb it, if you cannot take it in, you will not observe it within yourself. This is the catch-22. It's not a lot different than the God thing. Do you believe in God? Well, go prove it to the double-blind placebo scientific method. Go ahead and prove it. You can't. You can't prove there's God to that game, but you know there's God within yourself, and then we have people who say otherwise. Those of you who know there's God, follow that track. Follow your godliness into your DNA. Because if you work with holistic medicine, you'll begin to understand you're a lot more malleable, shiftable, electromagnetically defined than material. It's called getting in touch with your soul. And they took that out of your right to use that language in science. You see, they denied science its spiritual base. And this is the great divide today. So there's the central junction box with many, many nuclei. Sitting in what? It's sitting in a bone called the sphenoid bone. If you can, or when you get home, do this. Go to picture 18, 17, picture 19, and look at the sphenoid bone. It looks like a giant moth. And in the center of the sphenoid bone is an empty space. And in that empty space, in the center of this bone, in the center of your skull, deposited into this hole, is your pituitary. The pituitary gland, which is just a period away from the hypothalamus, sits in this bone in a depression called the cella turcica. So your central junction box is wedged into a bone in the center of your skull. This bone, the sphenoid bone, is connected to other bones. And when we look at all those bones of the skull, well, then we say, that's your cranium. Your cranial bone is made of the frontal bone and the parietal bone and the occipital bone and the sphenoid bone and the zygoma and the maxilla and the palatine bone and the lacrimal bone and so on and so forth. Your skull is made of all these bones. Great picture of your skull. Picture 11. Take a look at picture 11. Those of you who can't see, it's your skull bones pulled apart. Why are they doing that? Why are they pulling the bones of your skull apart? So you can look at a picture of your skull, a multicolored picture of your skull, each color being a different bone of the skull, or you can pull those bones apart. Why are we saying that? Because those bones have joints between them called sutures, and those sutures vibrate. The bones of your skull vibrate. The bones of your skull soften. The bones of your skull, in that they vibrate, they move. And the rate at which they move gives them a frequency. The frequency of your cranium is very related to the frequency of your hypothalamus. And the frequency of your hypothalamus, in other words, how much it's moving, being massaged, being vibrated, being spoken to, has every bit to do with its optimal function, without which you're cooked. Clenchers shut that down. Clenching is dangerous. It's not some little thing that's really secondary to the fact that if you clench, you grind, and if you grind, you'll hurt your teeth. That's important. More important, clenching shuts down hypothalamic function. You see it all the time. Weird stuff happens to people that clench over the years. Weird stuff. And pray you clench symmetrically. Because if you're not clenching symmetrically, you're clenching asymmetrically, you schism your head. Your brain, your hypothalamus, doesn't know how to interpret what it receives, and therefore it doesn't know how to send out the orders, the directions, the commands it's supposed to send out, both via the autonomic nerves. Let's talk about another piece of this. Occiput C1. Now, when you can, get to the website, straighttalk.cc, picture 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, and 30. I'm showing you pictures of the occipital bone of the skull, the first and second cervical vertebra. Why? These three bones must separate, not fixate. You must master. I said master. I didn't say try. I didn't say do. I didn't say do it for a while and think that you've got it figured out when you don't. I said you must master the ability to isolate the occiput from C1, C2. None other than Joseph Pilates at least understood this. He didn't teach it. He didn't teach it well enough. Rarely do you see a Pilates teacher teach anybody any of this. But Pilates that understood it, just like the chiropractors understand it, just like the osteopaths understand it, just like anybody that does anything structurally says they understand it. But when you watch people go to work with it, that's when it all gets flushed down the toilet. Functionally speaking, we get a D. We got to change that. Now look at this picture with Pilates, picture 30. He built his own machine. You know, the Pilates, the reformer, the Cadillac, so on and so forth. Pilates built something else to try to give people a sense of how to separate occiput C1, C2. I'm not getting into it heavy today. Just not. You go to show 243, 244. You go to any show I've done on head trauma, any show I've done on jaw clenching. But specifically, 243, 244, go to those shows on stretching. You'll see this Pilates machine. You'll see the stretches. And don't expect to succeed at it by yourself. I'm just going to tell you that ahead of time. You can interpret the statement any way you want. I don't care. But at least take a step into the water to try to get a sense of what I'm talking about. And just know that no matter where you think you are, there's more to know. And that's all I can say within the context of 60 Minutes today. Let me say it to you a different way. If you look at picture 27, again, where are we? Let's start from the beginning. We're talking about the autonomic nervous system, sympathetic and parasympathetic fibers. We're talking about the hypothalamus gland. We're talking about how the hypothalamus controls that, how the hypothalamus and pituitary sit in the cranial bone, the sphenoid. We're talking about how the cranial bones need to be educated and exercised so they vibrate, and that a great control over the vibratory level of the cranium, of the sphenoid, is the occiput C1 and C2. If you're not isolating through breath and stretching occiput C1, C2, you cannot get to the hypothalamus. There's the summary of the last 20 minutes. You're on track. You got it. Now look at the back of picture 27. Look at the back of your neck. You got the skin. You got a little fat. You've got a ton of fascia. Then you have layers of muscles. You got the backside of the trapezius. You got the backside of the sternocleidomastoid. You got the semispinalis capitis. You got this whole layer of thick, snotty muscles that you've got to get through until you get to the suboccipital muscles. There's layers of muscle. If you're talking rectus capitis posterior minor, rectus capitis posterior major, if you're talking the obliquus capitis, if you're talking the deep suboccipital muscles, they're underneath other layers of muscle. It is a rat's nest. And you have to open up, pull apart, derive satisfaction and pleasure when you're pulling those areas apart to stretch feels good. If you even know how to stretch those areas, when you do, it's got to feel good. It's got to feel so good, in fact, that you feel the back of your neck into the inside of your brain, into the inside of your eyeballs, perfused with what you might think is blood, but which is really nothing but nerve flow. Until you get to that point, you are not literally separating the occiput C1, C2. You may be on your way. You may be stretching a superficial layer of muscle, a middle layer of muscle. You may be stretching the deepest layer of muscle. But until you get a perfusion of warmth, like warm water, I don't mean icy cold. I don't mean numbness and tingling. I don't mean your fantasy about what you're doing. I mean a profusion of warmth into the back of your neck, into your eyeballs, into your jaw, down your spine, down to your feet, back all the way up until it opens up your breath. Whatever you're doing, you haven't yet separated the occiput from C1 from C2. Separation of the occiput from C1 from C2 is everything. It's what osteopathic and chiropractic devote essentially their entire profession to. In terms of your health, in terms of upgrading the intelligence of the hypothalamus gland, because you're beginning to mobilize the sphenoid bone without aiding and abetting it with this isolation, occiput C1, C2, you will leave your hypothalamus dead in the water. I'm going to be emphatic about this because we're missing and we can't afford to miss. Too many people are sick. Cancer's at 1 out of 2. People are getting it younger and younger. We're still spewing infinitely larger numbers of chemicals. All the regulations, governmental controls, forget it. We're not cutting it. But we have knowledge. We have knowledge like we never had it before. And if you employ that knowledge, well, then you have the edge. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. No show like this in America. Get on my website. There's 330 hours now. It's an encyclopedia of knowledge. But you've got to study it like you study anything else. This is not the Cliff Notes version. This is not go out there, buy that herb for that health concern. This is not like everybody else that's advertising these miracle cures with supplements. This has nothing to do with that. This is to tell you that the real miracle is when you know yourself. When you know yourself to the point where you can combine systems and bring the asset of all those systems of health to your health concern, and that's where you will find God. If there's God in science, you meet it when the science works. When science really works. When in the name of health you mobilize the systems, the God-given pieces of the puzzle, and put them together and receive health and see health concerns disappear, this is where you meet God. It's one very special way to do it. I'm not saying it's the only way, but I am saying those of you who are ill, chronically ill, sick, symptomatic, whatever you want to call it, take this perspective. Get off the other ones. If the other ones haven't worked for you, it's for the reasons I'm stating. You have to know thyself and then activate. All right, so people that clench, compress their cranial bones, kiss the hypothalamus goodbye. People who live fixated between occiput C1 and C2, who don't have a sense of how to stretch, see Pilates, listen to my shows, how to stretch those muscles out and get the result, though. I'm not talking about hitting the heavy bag and no one falls down. I'm talking about hitting the bag and the bag falls down. I'm talking about getting the desired result, not just going through the action. I'm not talking about reading the script, but not making the audience move. I'm talking about when you pull open the back of your head, when you successfully separate through whosever method you want to use, occiput from C1, C2, you will know it within your brain. That is what I'm talking about. Again, it's another way to prime the hypothalamus by massaging it, by moving the cranial bones. It's a very simple process going on with that. Okay, let us continue. The immune system. There is no regulation in the immune system. I'm just going to talk about one function. of the hypothalamus, regulating the immune system. This is really big to cancer people. Because if your immune system is sluggish, if it doesn't know how to see what it's supposed to see, if it's more easily tricked, or if it doesn't shut off, whether you're missing tumors or whether you're creating autoimmune disease, it has to do with regulation of the immune system through the autonomics, through the hypothalamus. Now just look at that. Right there, you've got half of the most dangerous diseases pegged. But there's no supplement to take. And I know now there's many of you that are looking at what I'm talking about as simply stretching your neck, learning an isolation. Yes, this is the single stretch I do. You're going to go out and you're going to buy that gizmo you see there on picture 30, that Pilates little machine there to open up your hypothalamus. You're going to do that, and you're missing the point then. This is why you got to listen, and those of you who do really know, you've got to see the big picture. If you're talking about hypothalamic intelligence, you must include the entire body. Stretching out the Achilles tendon is as central to the hypothalamus as stretching the back of your upper cervical spine. And again, you have to remember the layers. So I want you to understand, when I say hypothalamic intelligence, I'm talking about the bottom of your footy foot to the top of your head, and I'm talking about all the way outside your skin there, right to the marrow of the bone. I'm talking about you from head to toe, and I'm talking about you from the outside to the inside. Length, width, and depth. Right? I'm talking about the three-dimensional you. I'm talking about bringing into mobility the dimensions of you. Length, width, and height. Or depth. You have to work through layers of muscle to the bone. And then you have to separate the bones. And you have to do this from your Achilles tendon all the way up to your cranial bones. That's what the hypothalamus is asking you to do. That's what it demands to stay optimized. And when a piece of you is disconnected from you, then you'll feel it. You'll feel it because your hypothalamus will bring your attention to it. Think of that. You are, as a child, a unified you, a unified field. You are, as a middle-aged adult, a schismed field. And the real dystopia of it is that you can't feel the part of you that's disconnected from you. That, within that lies the beast. If your head's on not straight, if your head's not on straight, you don't know it. If your pelvis is off, you don't know it. If L5 and the sacrum are fixated, you don't know it. If your knee is taking your weight vectors through the wrong part of the epicondyle of the femur or the flatness of the tibia, you don't know it. And that's what really bringing your body back to balance is about. To the point where you do know it, to the point where that hypothalamus is reoptimized, and the minute something's off, you know it. You knew this when you were little. That's why you were always complaining. You knew this when you were little. That's why you were precocious. How many precocious, hypothalamically optimized adults I've counseled listen to their stories about how when they were little, they knew what they needed to eat. When they were little, they knew how they needed to move. When they were little, they knew how they needed to communicate, and they got shut down, shut down, shut down, shut down. That has gross manifestations into the physical plane. So by the time that child's 50, it is physically shut down. It's occiput and first and second cervical vertebra are glued shut. You see? First, we deny you your ethereal self. And then after we do that, it's one step down after another until your material self is fused. And then you've got a heck of a job. Do you follow me? Those of you who listen, do you follow what I'm saying to you? I want you to compare and contrast that to running to a health food store because your back pain won't go away, or because you're constipated, or because you've got heart issues, and asking them what the latest and greatest new supplement is for your problem. I want you to compare what I just said to you to those types of actions and perspectives. And then I want you to understand and think about my point. All right, let's get on to the sacrum here. The sacrum. Remember, today's show, craniosacral and the hypothalamus. What really gives you health? Let's go on down and look at the sacrum. Sacrum, backbone as in sacred. Sacrum as in sacred, as in the base of your spine. Picture 20, picture 21, picture 24. Look at the way your spine is shaped. If you can, look at picture 24. The rest of you, just remember, if you can, what your spine looks like from your head all the way down to your sacrum. That bone there, the sacrum, sacred, if you're looking at picture 24 from the side, that looks like a shovel. It looks like a shovel. If you took the sacrum out of its lordotic curve and you bent it the other way, right? The natural lumbar curve is to sway back. The sacrum sways back. Suppose you could just grab it like a hinge and sway it forward, and then sway it back and sway it forward and sway it back and sway it forward and sway it back. Then the bone is sacred. I'm going to take some time here. Those of you who cannot get on the computer, when you go home, straighttalk.cc, not .com.cc, two T's, get on the website. Look at picture 24. If what I'm saying has grabbed you, has electrified you, has galvanized you, has made you want to pull over on the freeway and listen to the show, don't do that. When you get home, look at the website and look at picture 24 and look at that sacrum, and it sways back. We've got a lumbar curve. Well, in fact, imagine taking your hand and shoving it forward and letting it come back and pushing it forward. Imagine doing that. Imagine being able to sway your sacrum from back to forward, from back to forward, from back to forward. It's a pump. It's a pump. And when its tip is moving up, meaning when you're coming out of the curve in the opposite direction, you're going to bring with it your whole perineum, the whole pelvic diaphragm, down there. Pardon the expression, but down in the crotch. The area between the anus and, whether you're male or female, the genital. The perineum is a diaphragm. It's a thin sheath of muscle. As that sacrum moves up, that sheath of muscle moves up. As the sacrum goes back, the sheath relaxes. Then it gets pulled up and back and forth if your sacrum has mobility. If L5, S1, and the ilium, meaning the pelvis, isolate, if they separate at the joint correctly, then you pump from your lower end. You pump from your lower end through the spine up high to the occiput C1, C2. The occiput C1, C2 are also supposed to pump. If you're looking at that picture of Pilates doing that stretch, or go to my shows, 243, 244, look at the stretches I recommend and listen to the show. It's about separating occiput C1, C2, which is a pump. Down low, you've got the sacrum. You've got L4, L5, S1. And the lower pump and the upper pump are talking to each other. They're talking by way of the dural tissue. They're talking by way of the spinal cord, but it's really pulling the dural tissue that we ought to be focusing on here, because the dural tissue is where the pain sensors are, and the dural tissue, therefore, is where the pleasure sensors are. The dural tissue, which is what? The skin, the thick sheath of connective tissue around the brain, between the brain, cuts the brain three-dimensionally around the spinal cord, attaches into the spinal bones, attaches down into the sacrum, so to speak. And when you're pumping that sacrum, you're moving the dura. Where did we start today? Where are we? Are we lost? Are you lost? All right, let's go back. Let's go back to the beginning of the show. The hypothalamus controls the autonomics. It sits in bones. Those bones have to move. Those bones move by opening occiput C1, C2, and also by opening L5, S1. If those bones isolate and move, the hypothalamus gets massaged by the cranial bones. Specifically, the sphenoid begins to move, which is what the hypothalamus and pituitary, your master gland, sit in. And then your intelligence is optimized through the hypothalamus, which means many systems run correctly, like your immune system, so that you don't go autoimmune, and so that when your immune system needs to eat a cancer cell, it does. There it is. That's the last 46 minutes of the show. So we are on track here. You do understand. So let's get back to this concept now. We're talking about isolating L5, S1, so that that hinge works. That sacrum hinges between S1 and L5. And if it does, you pull up your whole perineum. You lift your perineum. And as you move that sacrum, you also pull the dural attachments, the attachments of the dura mater from the sacrum. You pull it up through the spine and up into the core of the brain, craniosacral. That is the true yoga. That is where it gets interesting. That is where the DNA becomes light. That is the piece even the biophysicists and the biochemists that understand this, that are lecturing on this, that are creating experimentation to suggest or prove this, this is what they're missing. And this, is again, is where the yoga begins. This is point zero in the yoga. But all too often, we have to bring our level of understanding of yoga up to another level. We got to get it there. We will. We are Americans. This is what Americans do. They improve things. They borrow from everybody because we're a melting pot. And then in that great American tradition of freedom and diversity, we improve things. We need to improve our understanding of what commonly we call Pilates and yoga and Qigong and Tai Chi and Kung Fu. Because these are tools given to us by other cultures that have come to settle here in this great land. And this is their wisdom that we as Americans take in and Americanize. That's right. You know what Americanize means? It means we make it better. We respect it, but we make it better. India understands this. India brought yoga here because they felt yoga was dead in India. They did. I've spoken to far too many Indians, devotees of different dimensions in the yoga, that said America will revitalize the yoga. Yoga is science. I'm talking to you about science. Pilates is science. Tai Chi, Qigong, Kung Fu, they're science. But the problem is they have spiritual overtones, and they should. And the problem is we here in America, in fact, the world, has decided that science has no room for spirituality. This is a terrible mistake. Past shows, you've heard me talk about Rupert Sheldrake, banned from TED Talks. Banned from TED Talks, and you know the game now. If you've got something to say that powers that be don't want to listen to, and you start to gather a crowd, your forums are denied you because Other groups, interest groups, will come and threaten sponsorship to the very shows that depend on them for sponsorship, and so you don't get your forum. All right, I don't want to get into that too much, but this is a new game. It's a relatively new game. And you have to understand how you're not going to hear a lot of things. One thing you need to hear is that science and spirituality do have an integration, or you're going to be denied some of the great gifts of science. This is one of them. It's called the hypothalamic intelligence. So get on down there and take a look at that sacrum, that L5, that S1, wobbling back and forth, pulling the dural tissue. And if you pull the dura, you get that magnificent endorphin rush. Those of you, those few of you that understand what I'm talking about, when you really pull apart the deep anatomical places in the body, your brain, if not those tissues themselves, flood your bloodstream with opiates, endorphins, rah-rah, cheerleaders, good feelings. And with it, tandem to it, synonymous to what I'm saying, is a feeling and perfusion of warmth throughout the body, not just the place you stretched, but the entire body. That's what you call hypothalamic intelligence. It's a journey. It's a work in progress. It's a tour de force. But it is the creme de la creme. It is where you're going. And this whole show, this whole concept has to be put at the forefront of your healing journey. Whatever you're dealing with, it doesn't matter what your health concern is, from fatal ones to toenail fungus, it doesn't matter. This is the way you have to think about it. And if you are into nutrition and you've spent good time, good money, and good energy in the nutritional dimension, you must understand that nutrition is just a subset of what I'm talking about. You are cleansing and nutrifying to get to the hypothalamus. You are stretching and pumping to get to the hypothalamus. You are purifying your thought to get to the hypothalamus. And as it turns on, as you turn on, you live in reciprocity with everything you do. Meaning, if the hypothalamus has been communicated with, it communicates with your practice, your gallbladder flush. That hypothalamus is telling you, go. The stretches you're doing, the exercises, the Pilates, the toning, the sculpting, whatever it is, you're activating through the cranium and feeding your body health so that there's a two-way street now. Everything you do talks to the hypothalamus, and then your hypothalamus talks back to you to give you ever more precise guidance. See, the hypothalamus leads you out of the labyrinth. Many of you listening to this show today are lost. You're right, you are lost. I understand you're lost. I know why you're lost, because what we're giving you in medicine today is simply victim medicine. A lot of victimization. A lot of victim-oriented perspectives, paradigms. Victim means the therapist, the doctor. Some say the government, whoever, knows everything, and you as a victim have to come to them to ask for their benevolence. And if the light is shined upon you, as it should, since everyone deserves benevolence, you'll be benevolently treated, and that's all you have to do is receive benevolence. That is a victimization of you. That is not what holistic health is about. Holistic health asks you to get on a journey between you and places that might be a little spooky to explore. And as you explore them, they explore you. It's what the Greeks call know thyself. There's only one medicine. It's the know thyself medicine. And whether it's drugs, whether it's surgery, whether it's stretching on a rock somewhere at the ocean, whether it's taking an herb, it doesn't matter. It's all within the same perspective. It's all under the same dome. We should not have separated all these acts. Because by separating this, by refusing to unify, what we have are people, you out there, John Q. Public, and you are lost. You have become lost because of this. I will never stop talking like this, ever. I'll stop talking like this when I see people really get it. I'll stop talking like this when I see people start to look at their health, not as victims, but as students. There's no such thing as a patient. You're not a patient. You're not a client. You're a student. I'll stop talking like this when the public walks in, sits down across a desk and says, I'm going to pay you to teach me how to get healthy because I know I'm just a student. But that's not the way it is right now. I won't stop talking like this until it's that way. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. If you have a health concern, 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. Give us a call. I'll study your terrain. If this makes sense to you, this show makes sense to you, if you've been spinning in circles, if you've tried therapies promised to you that they would fix your problems, and you feel like that's all you ever hear, come as a student. Student. Let somebody navigate and turn you on in the right direction and you explore you. That is what you call taking responsibility for your health. And those people that do that are the people that get results. I have never seen it any other way. Never. 714-850-1007. We'll see you next week. God bless you.
Okay, that's a wrap. Don't forget to get to Dr. Medici's website at drmedici.com to look at the pictures and review the show as often as you wish. See you next week.